Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into Festivus. I have foregone the purple lights this year, other than the magma lamp here from Sporticulture. I'm not buying into any of this. We're going to the Super Bowl. We're winning games on the road. I'm just going to let it play out, just like I've let the rest of the plague play out. Last time I got together with this guy, it was a couple months ago, we talked about the love of hockey and Barry Trotz and the Predators and love of all things Nashville. And little did we know there would be a division championship in the AFC South for the Titans, and John Glenn and I would be getting back together again like we used to in our hockey days and our football days and our Eddie George and Ray Lewis days. And this is the rivalry that never was, that will never end, right? It really is sort of a weird rivalry.
It really is, you know. I mean, we kind of thought everything would sort of die down once they were in separate divisions and so forth, and now it just becomes more and more routine. Like you said, you know, we had the big playoff game last year, and then this year had the regular season game that was sort of billed as a little bit of the Ravens revenge game. Unfortunately for the Ravens, it didn't necessarily turn out that way. But now, obviously, even a bigger stakes meeting right here. And then I think it's going to be a good one. You know, the Ravens are, I think, a much better team, certainly than when the Titans beat them a few months ago. So it's going to be a real test.
Well, let's start with this. I love your town. Everybody here loves your town, right? Everybody in America loves Nashville. The Christmas bombing, I'm not coming in this week. And I remember talking to you about whether you were coming up to Baltimore a couple months ago. And this COVID thing has just been weird all the way around. I mean, I used to run into you at hockey rinks in San Jose and different places, you know, during the course of our travels and life and sports. There's COVID, there's the plague, there's this crazy presidency, and then there's a bomb in the middle of Nashville out in the front of what used to be Graham Central Station, where I once famously threw a party there 12 years ago, and the last time you guys hosted a playoff game in Nashville was actually game. I learned that. I'm not coming, and I guess it's COVID-related, but part of it is also, I don't, you know, that's going to be a little weird for me, the bomb in the middle of Nashville. Give me some local flavor for what's going on there the last couple weeks. Because much like everything else in the news cycle, John, it's just gone. It's like it never happened, except that if I landed there Saturday, it happened.
Yeah, it's incredible how quickly they change. But yeah, this is, you know, as you know, Second Avenue is kind of the hub of the sort of the tourist area. You know, that's where people go out to bars, to restaurants, to really enjoy some of that Nashville flavor on Second Avenue and on Broadway. So it's, you know, it's really a kind of a heartbeat section of downtown.
It's,
you know,
so thumping that I did karaoke there once, and I haven't done karaoke many
places.
What
song was it? Can you remember the song?
This was Super Bowl year. I was dating a girl who lived in Antioch, strangely enough. And I sang Copacabana, and I did it with a purple boa. It did not go over well with the Titans fans.
But I believe, if I'm recalling correctly, the Ravens did credit you with part of the reason for the victory in that game so many years ago after that, right? After singing Copacabana.
Well, I cleared people out. They got a good night rest that night on the third floor at the Graham Central Station.
There you go. But yeah, you're right. You know, this is the heartbeat of the city, and the only thing, you know, obviously that we can be thankful for is that this man, you know, as however nuts that he was, did choose Christmas morning when virtually no one was around outside of the people that had to be evacuated by the kind of very heroic police in Nashville. So, you know, fortunately, this man was the only one who lost his life, you know, which is incredible when the size of this bomb and the damage, the property damage that it did. It's just amazing that no lives were lost. So for whatever reason, you know, whatever statement he was trying to make, thank goodness it did not involve trying to take human life. But certainly it's still, you know, leaving shockwaves here. And I'm sure, you know, since it's right across the water, right across the river from the Titans Stadium, that's going to be a focal point, you know, from a national standpoint of the game.
I don't have any doubt about that. John now covers sports for a newish entity called Broadway Sports Media. You can find him, of course, out on Twitter, anywhere. You've been doing this longer than anyone. I was at the home run throwback, touchdown throwback Bills game. I was at the Eddie George, Ray Lewis game. I was at the you played the Steelers in a home game one of those years. Yeah. Schwartz was there. I froze my ass off. I was at that game. Went with Big Keith. We flew down there for a little honky tonking. Let's see. I was at the game where Zeus jumped off and you guys beat us here. Right. You know, how many am I missing? I mean, the Titans didn't make the playoffs for 15 years, right? So you guys have not had a lot of home playoff games, much like us. Almost our entire playoff history and all of our success has been on the road.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And speaking of that, of course, that brings up this series, too. You know, these teams have played four times in the playoffs. Baltimore's won twice in Nashville. The Titans have won twice in Baltimore. So, yeah, really kind of an odd series. But, yeah, this is the first Titans home playoff game since 2008, since that Ravens game. You know, and I think it's such a big deal. You know, there was such a priority for the Titans coming into this season. They had made the playoffs in two of the past 3 years, but they hadn't had that home game. They hadn't won the division. They took care of both of those this year. And you know, the sad irony, of course, is that you finally get a home playoff game and you don't necessarily get that real home field advantage, obviously, because there's going to be, you know, a sparse amount of fans in the stands. But still, as Mike Vrabel kind of pointed out the other day, given the choice, play at home where you're comfortable, you know what you're doing, you know your surroundings, or go on the road, absolutely, you'd rather play at home.
They did all right on the road last year, right?
they did for the first two rounds, certainly. They beat New England, beat Baltimore, and then ran into a pretty good Kansas City team after that. It was a little bit too much. But, you know, that's when the talk started. After that loss at Kansas City, that's when Mike Vrabel started to say, we got to get some of these games at home. That's a priority. And that's what you heard really nonstop during the offseason was that's our goal, win the division, get some home playoff games. Well, here it is.
Really weird around here, man. We were like beating everybody's ass last year. It's 14-2, bye week, boom. Then COVID, boom. Then the season begins, and they're pretty good because they're way ahead of everybody else's school. I mean, Browns hadn't even met their coach yet, right? We're playing football here in week one. The season took on a whole different turn when what worked last year wasn't working this year. Marshall Yanda wasn't coming home, and Ronnie Stanley got hurt, and then Nick Boyle got hurt. Then the whole team got COVID, and then they're playing Wednesday afternoon football in Pittsburgh. And you know, they played a month on short rest. They played without half their roster for 2 weeks. They've been trying to get some of the elder statesmen, Jimmy Smith, Calais Campbell, back. You're probably getting the Ravens at the wrong time. I mean, I guess Vegas probably thinks the same thing as they made the Ravens a favorite, but I'm not bullish on the Ravens winning a Super Bowl, but I think they're playing better football than they were playing this time last year. And I'm not convinced after watching the Titans spit up all over themselves. I mean, blowing two touchdown leads on Sunday. I'm like, heal thyself, Titans, you know? I just think the Ravens are the better football team. They have to go out and prove it this weekend, but the Ravens have rounded their season very, very nicely the last month by using the last month as a little bit of a preseason prep for playoff time and having to go out and beat teams. And they did everything they needed to do the last month to show that, yeah, they're not 14-2, but they're a real strong 11-5 on the road.
I agree. You know, I think it's a much different team than the one the Titans beat. I mean, I think J.K. Dobbins is a much better running back now, and he's getting the kind of carries and the consistency that we weren't seeing before. Lamar Jackson's really turned things around in terms of his passing last five. And I think for you guys that the game against Cleveland, obviously, the Monday night game, winning that one in overtime, coming back, crazy game. To me, that was really a confidence booster and a season saver, you know, for the Ravens as well. What, you know, when you look at the Titans, it's one of the biggest disparities between offense and defense that I can remember seeing from a playoff team. You know, when you're facing the Titans, they're going to score an awful lot of points. They were over 40, you know, I think four or five times this year, over 39 times. But the problem is they can't stop anybody, and we saw that against Houston, too. Houston scored 8 straight possessions against the Titans, and this is a Houston team that was playing without Laremy Tunsil, and I think it's other starting tackle as well. So that's the real question for the Titans right now is, can they outscore the other team? That's been the question all year, because if the Titans can't outscore you, they're not the kind of team that's going to win any kind of a defensive struggle.
Where's the Derrick Henry thing at this point? You know, we clearly got the worst of him last year, and tackling him, I just had Jared Johnson on a little while ago. You can go check that out at Baltimore Positive. Anybody wants to hear that, or you hear it at AM 1570 or this week. And, you know, Jared said, looked like the Ravens didn't want to tackle him in the second half last year. You watch him every week, right? I mean, and they win a lot of games around there. I would think in the fourth quarter of a lot of games, people don't want to tackle him.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, we saw that again in the second half against Houston last week. You know, Derrick Henry had about 112 yards and a half and then just blew it open there in the second half, especially. You know, and I think the colder weather helps him as well. I think, you know, and I've always heard, not that I've been a professional football player, but that it's not an easy thing to tackle a 250-pound man, you know, in the cold weather in the fourth quarter also. And that is when Derrick Henry is at his best. But he has been something to watch just because, you know, it's obvious what teams are going to concentrate on. You know, it's no surprise at this point that Derrick Henry is a great running back, you know, and they load up against him. And with very few exceptions, there have been a few this year, Cleveland, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, you know, all held him like 60 or 70 yards, which is a decent day for most running backs. Other than that, he is just overpowering teams and setting up the play action passes. You know, that's what's helping Tannehill so much, because this has turned into a very efficient, you know, not big yardage passing attack, but a very efficient passing attack that produces a lot of touchdown passes.
You can follow John Glennon at Glennon Sports out on Twitter, as well as at Broadway Sports Media down in the Music City, where they're still trying to put things back together after Christmas, and certainly putting together a little bit of a home playoff game here. How many people are going to have this week? You're crazy people down there, Marshall Blackburn. They let people in, right?
I believe it's kind of what it was towards the end of the season, which is probably about 12 to 15, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, you know, at least you get a little flavor of it, but at the same time, hopefully there's still enough spacing, still enough distancing that you know, protocol is still kept.
Defensively, what's happened to them? I mean, I sat and watched that thing on Sunday, and I haven't watched Titans play a whole lot this year, but I was pretty glued to it, figuring out whether it was going to be Indy or Tennessee for the Ravens this week. Defensively, what happened from last year to this year that's turned this thing around to think like, well, the Ravens are going to score 35 this week, I think, you know, then yeah. It's going to be whether they can score 38.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Well, you know, I think there's a lot of things that happened. One name you're familiar with, certainly Dean Pease, defensive coordinator last year, stepped down. You know, they named Shane Bowen, who is the outside linebackers coach, the play caller, but they didn't have a defensive coordinator per se. You know, and then they lost a couple other assistant coaches. That was kind of the start. Then you talk about the personnel, Jarrell Casey no longer there, Logan Ryan, a good defensive back, no longer there. Then you talk about, okay, with all these changes, what kind of what team needs an offseason to kind of get that chemistry, to get that unity and so forth? Well, you miss your whole offseason this year due to the pandemic. Then you add to it that they, you know, tried to get a couple of pass rushers in Jadeveon Clowney, Vic Beasley. Beasley was a total disaster, was cut halfway through the year. And Jadeveon Clowney was, you know, decent but nothing special. And now he's done for the year, too, with injury. So you combine all those things and you get a pretty poor defense, one that, as I say, it's just having a real difficult time getting stops against any kind of quality quarterback and offense.
I'm doing all I can do to put the whammy on you guys. I mean, I'm bringing Matt Stover on here to put the bad, you know, mojo on Al Del Greco, and doing all the things that we can do through this thing. But can't hate on David Questenberry, right? I mean, I got to know him a little bit through Ed Block, and a cancer survivor, and a multiple time battler. My wife got it again. He got it again. We've been friends via phone, and he helped me swab out in San Diego when I did the tour. He winds up in a Titan starting lineup. I mean, that's as good a story as there is in the NFL, and I don't know that I've read a whole lot about it or seen the 10-minute video on the pregame show, but he's a hell of a story.
It's a great story. You know, the Titans lost number one left tackle, Taylor Lewan, a Pro Bowler, you know, four games into the season. They made a pretty good pickup in the offseason, Ty Sambrello. He steps in, does pretty well. Well, after a few games, he's down with injury too. So you're looking for a third team left tackle at this point. And unfortunately, kind of a side note, you know, their first round draft pick, who is a tackle, Isaiah Wilson, has been kind of a disaster off the field, has played three snaps offensively the whole year. So they couldn't count on him. So you're looking for a guy to fill in at a crucial position. And they turned to David Quisenberry, who Mike Vrabel knew from his coaching tenure in Houston. Mike Vrabel loves this guy, loves his attitude, loves the positivity he brings all the time. But still, you're playing left tackle in the NFL. And he's been solid. You know, has he been Taylor Lewan? Is he a Pro Bowl guy? No, but nobody could expect that. But you're not looking at Ryan Tannehill getting buried every time he drops back. You're still seeing Derrick Henry run for 100, 200 yards.
Would have been 300 if he wanted to. He could have ran for as many as he wanted to on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, and another touchdown run have been called back in that game. So, yeah, Quisenberry has certainly held his own and more. Now they give him a little bit more help. They'll chip, you know, from time to time. But, yeah, it's great to see that kind of guy who's stuck with the football for so long, who recovered from cancer as well, and who has kept just an incredible attitude. Great to see him succeed.
Well, just to keep you guys on your toes, I want to bring Billick on here, our partner, on behalf of the Living Classrooms Foundation. We'll talk about the Banshee and the Spear. This is the week to do all of that, right? There's a lot of lore. What's the lore in Titans, Ravens on your side? I mean, you talk about the tragedy with the bombing. You know, when I think of tragedies in Nashville, I think of the story of Steve McNair. You know, I just, every time I'm there, his image is there, the nine's there. Last time I went into your stadium, there was a giant, like a big plastic thing on the outside of the wall of his face and his image. I mean, It's almost like he's alive when you're there. That's one of the weirder parts of this Ravens Titans story.
Yeah.
You and I both knew Steve.
Sure. Absolutely. And great guy, loved by the Titans fans here and so forth. And was a huge part of this team and the rivalry, obviously, because he ended up playing, you know, in Baltimore as well. But he's a huge part of it. You know, Eddie George, you know, it's interesting. You know, I do flashback stories from time to time too on, you know, some Titans great games or some Titans great players. And so often I go back to those Titans Ravens games, you know, because they were so big and such a part of this franchise. And I imagine certainly yours as well, but certainly some huge losses over the year for the Titans, not only Steve McNair, but, you know, one of the great all-time kickers and Rob Baronis died a couple years ago, you know, tragically in a car accident too. And he was another guy that was loved by Titans Nation.
Mike Heimerdinger as well.
Mike Heimerdinger, very, very good point also. Yeah, so there's been certainly some losses to the Titans family here as well. But as I say, you know, looking into this week, you know, what's better than a good rivalry game to start the playoffs like this? It's not like you're playing a team that, you know, you haven't played in 3 years or something like that. These teams know each other pretty well. They've been some good games. Certainly the regular season, this game was tremendous going into overtime. So I think a lot of people are looking forward to it and hoping, as you say, hoping the Titans can hold the Ravens to about 35 or so.
I'm shocked they put a Sunday at 1 o'clock, but as a guy here who went about 8 weeks without having a Sunday 1 o'clock game, I'll take it this week. And I know that's noon central for you guys down there. Now you go to the games at home, right? You cover the games?
Yep, absolutely. Sure. Different experience certainly this year than we've ever had before. You know, we've got partitions in between the media and on the press box. Everybody is spread out. And you know, obviously at home games, you're used to going into the locker room afterwards and doing your interviews. You don't move. Once you're in the press box, you know, everything, whether you're watching the game or afterwards, is done right there. You're doing Zoom calls afterwards. So just like everybody, there's been a lot of adjustments, you know, for NFL media this year, too.
Well, I hope there comes a day where you and I are feet on bricks down on Broadway and Second and having some barbecue or some pancake pantry or passing baskets at Monell's or doing the things that I love to do when I'm in Nashville. I am going to skip this one and take the week off. I do have a flight to Kansas City next week. They have barbecue there. I'm not sure. I'm just thinking about this one. Like, if they're going to lose, I don't need to be there to witness it this week. And if they're going to win, I'll just probably meet them in Kansas City or Buffalo, wherever they're going to be next week. But it's a nice tournament, right? I mean, I think the last time you and I got together, I dropped Eddie Fainer's name because I've been mentioning him a lot the last 5 months, just talking about whether this is an exhibition or whether this is a real thing. The NFL 256, they've been bragging on it all week and all that. And I mean, I saw our team play with half a team and I saw the Broncos play without a quarterback. I don't think it's been perfect, but the tournament this weekend, this triple header thing they've got, this is a nice little thing to sort of put us to sleep during the middle of an attempted coup, that sort of thing.
I agree with you. It's going to be great this weekend. You know, I'm really looking forward to being a complete couch sloth on Saturday and sitting there and watching the triple header, you know, doing nothing but drink a beer or two and maybe eat some of that nice barbecue.
You got that Nashville hot chicken. We got Royal Farms here. So
it's good.
I'm Rofo. I'm good. We got crab cakes here. We got Pizza John's. I got my cat, but there is something that we all miss about it, right? About what that game would look like, what the stadium would feel like, what our road. I mean, just we gotta get that back. And I think it's 1 o'clock Sunday. We're all gonna miss it again. I mean, we miss it every Sunday.
And as I said earlier, you know, especially from a Titans point of view, there was such a focus and point made. We got to get home game. We got to get a playoff game at home. We got to win the division. Well, they do. And unfortunately, you know, not nearly the home field advantage that you would like. But I suspect those 15,000 fans will make a little bit of noise nonetheless.
You believe in the Titans?
As long as they're on offense.
Well, we'll see you on the winner's circle one way or another after the game on Sunday. Sorry I'm not going to visit with you this time around. Really appreciate you making time as you always do. We'll send everybody out to follow you. John Glennon, everyone. You can find him at Glennon Sports on Twitter as well as Broadway Sports Media. What's Broadway Sports Media? Tell everybody what that is.
That's a great site. You know, started right around the start of this season. We really cover the Titans, all kinds of writers that cover the Titans. We cover the Predators. We cover Nashville SC, the MSL team as well. You know, analysis, videos, the whole deal.
And the future Nashville Orioles, right?
Well, you never know. You never know. As I said, I was thinking about wearing the O's cap today, but, you know, I don't know if we're
You're an down. Orioles fan, though. You're honest, right?
I am an Orioles fan, absolutely. Yeah.
Give me your Orioles story, because we don't talk a lot of Orioles here. Anytime I get a chance, you know, I know our owner's son lives there in Nashville, from what I understand.
All right. Yeah, my you know, best Orioles story was probably my first, you know, my first baseball game ever was at the old Memorial Stadium, and a friend of mine and I went, and we saw Catfish Hunter take on Jim Palmer. This was when Catfish Hunter's with the Yankees. So incredible, you know, game looking back to see those two kind of pitchers going head to head. You know, and certainly I saw a number of games at Camden Yards over the years too before I headed south to follow the career path.
Well, they'll get a team there, right? Someday.
They're certainly making a lot of noise, and there's certainly a concerted effort. You know, everybody loves Nashville's demographic, so I wouldn't rule it out.
All you need is a billionaire or a billionaire's son.
That's right. We need some deep pockets.
Yep. Hey, you stole my Oilers, you know? I mean, so you stole them from Memphis, wanted them, and they didn't even get them. Hey, take care of yourself, John. We'll see you soon, okay?
Thanks, Nestor. Appreciate you having
John Glennon. Glennon Sports, the way to find him out on Twitter, as well as BroadwaySportsMedia.com. They've changed. We've changed. We used to be WNST.net. You can still find us at WNST.net, but we are WNST.net AM 1570, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive and Titans football.